details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Timberline Heating and Air, they're your local carrier heating and cooling experts ready to install a new, more efficient carrier HVAC unit in your home or office for much less than you might expect. With Spring in the Air, Timberline has manufacturing utility rebates with savings up to $2,650. Call Timberline now for an estimate on the new carrier system to save you hundreds of dollars in future energy costs, pay for itself in year-round utility savings, and provide you with a 10-year parts warranty, the best parts warranty in the industry. Concerned about the respiratory health of your family? Give Timberline a call for a complete duct and equipment cleaning, keeping your system functioning at maximum capacity and providing fresh air through your entire home or office. Dirty coils force your compressor to run longer, increases energy use, and decreases the life of your system. Call 221-2222 or visit them online at TimberlineHVAC.com. They work hard to provide you the best value and comfort you require. Turn to the experts at Timberline Heating and Air. 221-2222. Timberline Heating and Air. Proud to serve our community since 1985.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You have joined We the People Radio with Bill.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Bill. And Bob.
Hello, Aaron.
And we were going to play all the commercials for the whole show here at the beginning. But we thought we'd take a brief break and actually have our guest on and talk about stuff. And we had a little hold up this morning. I guess I shouldn't say that.
No.
Since we've had a lot of robberies and crime, I shouldn't say we had a little hold up this morning.
Yeah.
That's
it. Well, you could say it. Nobody will show up, so it'll be all right.
Boom!
Ouch! Bayoneted right out of the box.
The alarm just went off. You can't say hold up, crosshair, target.
None of that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of things off the list. So here at We the People Radio, just in case you didn't realize it already, we're, I don't know, sometimes politically incorrect.
Sometimes?
Okay, all the time. We're all the time politically incorrect.
That's my girl.
And Bill got up an hour before I did today. So, well, you know.
Well, thanks, Bill.
Does that explain a lot?
It doesn't mean I got up an hour early, Bob.
I got up an hour early. So let's see. We are online, and Robert has a great page for us. I was driving until late last night, so I haven't seen it yet. But you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us, and lots of good archives there. We go back to, what, October of 2020.
It took some doing, but
all the fun of that,
well,
with
We
that
the People
out.
And everything, and he does have the biggest signature. So
it's finally time we got
one.
Exactly. Yeah. Time we had him on. Media bias at the border is how Robert titled the show, which is cool. Here we go. Here's a little information about him. John Hancock is generally recognized on both sides of the Atlantic as one of the leading figures in the field of American exceptionalism, conservative history, and the foundational infrastructure of English-speaking societies. His book, Liberty Inherited, is an Amazon bestseller and has been adopted by high schools for their AP World History and AP U.S. Government classes. In January, he was honored by both the British and the European parliaments when he was invited to be the special guest at a conservative conference in London. While there, John was given a private tour of Parliament and had the unique privilege of sitting in on a session of the British Parliament. Nice. I'd love to do that. Actually, I'd love to be in the British Parliament.
Yeah.
All that shouting out and everything.
All the shouting, yeah. You'd love that.
Hello. You can reach us by phone at 530-605-4567. And again, online, wethepeopleradio.us, where if you click the Listen Live button, you'll get the chat room that's working again. For those of you who gave up on the chat room, it's been cured. We don't know how or why, but it's cured. And there, that's all I've got for announcements, etc. Is that right? Is that all I have? Bill's over there logging into the computer. He's over here like doing little projects.
I'm being diligent.
It's like, here, just keep talking to them until we get everything situated.
Do we know who's at the meeting tomorrow night?
Yeah, blowing my cover.
I don't know. We'll have to do that later. Sally to send us a note. Sally, send us a note. Who's at the meeting? No, I have my calendar. I got to look. All right. So, John, are you in there?
Yes, I am.
Right on. So it just seems like I just talked to you.
Yeah, it does.
We talked until like 10 after 11 last night. Hey, I had a three-hour drive.
We talked about all the good stuff, and then
we did. All right. We already did. It's like, oh, we have to talk about that tomorrow, and that, and that. Brutal. So, for the folks who didn't get to the webpage ahead of time and haven't read this article, I hope you guys will. It's really very good. That's what that's how I found Mr. Hancock. Was I was reading this article, and I thought, you know what? That's part of the story that's not being told, obviously. So why don't you give folks a little snapshot of what I read?
Well, Marietta is about an hour north of the Mexican border. It's probably about 45 minutes north of San Diego. And where I live, it's about 10 minutes south. So I decided to go down and see, you know, what was going on with the protest there. And when I went there, first of all, it was kind of anticlimactic. There wasn't a whole lot going on. At that day, they decided not to send the buses to Marietta. They decided when the illegal immigrants arrived in San Diego at the airport, they just sent them south to the San Ysidro processing immigration station. But so since there wasn't much going on, I just started to look around and see what was happening. And the first thing I noticed, there was probably over on our side, probably about 150 protesters. On the other side, less than 20 counter-protesters. And how the police had it set up, they had in the middle of the road, they had a box kind of set up where they used the yellow tape. And then our side had to stay on one side, on the other one side of the box, and the other protesters, the counter-protesters, or the pro-illegal immigration protesters on the other side.
Oh, you mean they didn't have a free speech zone that was, you know, No, it was pretty open.
You can wander around, but they just kind of separated the two. And no one really checked you or anything. I guess you just, you know, defaulted to whatever one you wanted to go to. What was interesting was they had a pair of people that I call them the Brown Panthers. They were almost looked like they were trying to be Latino Black Panthers, but they were all dressed in brown. And they had, like, wherever the U.S. flag goes, they had the Mexican flag. And so you had these clowns over there, which kind of made up the majority of the 20 people. But
the two did.
What was that?
The two people made up the majority?
Well, no, there was a small group of them.
Oh,
that made up the majority of the 20 people there. But there was a few people that were kind of normal looking. And what I noticed is I was watching the TV stations when they would interview people. And I would see them interview people on the other side. Like there was this mom and daughter. The daughter was kind of college age or high school age. They looked really nice, very positive image, very positive impression that they made. And I'm watching them interview this person, and then they come over to our side. And, you know, you have 100 people there, and they pick, like, the people who look angry. They pick the people, I say that, basically had, you know, let their passions get the better of themselves. They pick people who had shirts or signs that were, could be construed as being mean. They could be construed as being racist.
The haters.
Yes, the haters. And I watched this happen over and over as they picked these people. And again, it wasn't like they didn't have other people to choose from. And so as I was watching this, I decided, well, a small little lady, she was probably in her late 40s, early 50s, comes, and she says she's a Marietta resident, and she's so upset because all this hate come into her city. You know, why is it that, you know, we don't care about the children? Why is this and that? And, of course, you know, you had the people get all upset and start jumping on her. And this is something as conservatives we need to be aware of, is that we got to think about how we come across with our message. And, you know, some of them, we had like a guy that was like 6'5", towering over this woman, screaming at her.
Oh, and, nice
and of course,
visual.
The camera's right there capturing it all. So once things kind of calmed down, we heard the buses weren't coming. They were being sent to south to San Ysidro. It started to break up, and I see the a Spanish-speaking from Fox Mundo, a reporter, was talking to that lady. And so I went up and kind of listened, and she was like, why all this hate? Why all this prejudice? You know, this racism, I don't know why. And so I kind of interjected myself, and I said, excuse me, this isn't about racism. It has nothing to do about where these kids are from. I said, my wife's from Mexico. My kids are half Mexican. My kids only spoke Spanish before they went into kindergarten. They're completely bilingual now. I'm fluent in Spanish. I have a degree in international business. Latin America was my region of study, and I understand the politics and history of Latin America. For me, it has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with the rule of law.
Well, they don't want to interview you, that's for sure.
Well, that was the whole point. Once I went through my little spiel and you know, in detail, and is in the article, they give the details. While I was speaking to this lady, I see the reporter push her cameraman away and send him off to talk to someone else. And then after I do my thing, she thanks me and walks away, the reporter does. And what was interesting about it, there was a couple other people standing there, and the small lady who was saying about the racism, she's like, you know what? I've never thought about it that way. And I say, yeah, I mean, this isn't about these kids. You know, it's not that they're kids or, you know, there's something bigger here. And so she thanked me, and as she was leaving, another protester who sat there and listened to the whole thing said to her, see, this is why, did you see that reporter leave? This man here has a compelling story. And she walked away like he was nothing. And she said, this is why conservatives don't trust the media.
Well, that's not the story she went there for.
Right. Well, it is. I mean, it was just, the thing was, I mean, I you know, media bias doesn't surprise me. But watching it unfold, and it is so obvious when I was there. You know, it wasn't even, they weren't even trying to hide it. And anybody that sat back and just watched what was going on and watched who they were talking to on both sides, it was just obvious. They weren't even trying to hide it.
Well, they knew that by playing that card, they knew the nation would never see your side.
Right.
They're only going to see the poor children, and that's what it's all about.
And the person, you were telling me, one lady had, what was the shirt she had on?
Yeah, she had on a shirt, the one that they came over, the first one they went to, she had a shirt on that said, if you can't afford children, don't have any.
You know. It's like, just didn't think about that before she got up the
Right. Well, yeah. And like I said, I was watching some of this. And you know, when I watch these things, I kind of do it with a very objective eye. And I was seeing on our side, again, we have to make sure we don't play into that narrative either, as a hateful, racist conservative, and unfortunately, some people gave the reporters what they wanted.
Yeah, there's always somebody, huh, that doesn't realize that they're playing into. I mean, they're playing in right into it. And they look at, how can they say that about us? And it's like, well, because some of our guys are knuckleheads. What the heck?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I sat there, almost wanted to, you know, hide, because some of these people, and then they get into everything from not just immigration, which they can't even explain why they're against this, but then they start getting into birther stuff with people.
Oh, no.
And you know, everything, the whole range of stuff. And I'm like, you know, you got to sometimes stop and think about how that sounds to someone who's not really informed or plugged in.
Yeah.
And you sound like a loony.
Sure. But people, well, you know what, they can't restrict my free speech, but the problem is, by not being strategic, they restricted their own. So, did you wind up talking to people about what you tried to share?
Yeah, the people that were there, a group of us went to lunch afterwards, and we were sharing it, and I was explaining to them, and they didn't see it as well as I do, because they were all just too involved in their protesting, and. But they were like, yeah, you know, they said before the previous days, you know, some of the people who are very knowledgeable about the immigration issue, the The news reporter didn't want to talk to them. I mean, none of the news, whether it's the mainstream media or, you know, what was interesting about this Spanish-speaking station was that it's Fox Mundo. It's a Fox station, Fox News.
Well, I was going to ask you,
We're taking the liberal versions of things.
Well, what were all the networks that were there? Was it just a couple of networks, or was it just local?
No. Well, on this day, there weren't as many. On the previous days, pretty much everybody was there. But I saw, of course, all of our local news, and there was Fox was there, CNN, pretty much. I don't remember anything from MSNBC unless they were just using NBC, the local station.
Well, they missed the bus, so they couldn't make it.
Right. but they were there, and I saw quite a few, interviews going on later that evening when I was watching, Hannity. They had a few people they were interviewing. And Fox, you know, Hannity and stuff kind of picked people who could articulate things very well. We have a guy named Doug Gibbs in our area. He lives in Marietta. He teaches Constitution classes. And he, he was explaining how this is all a violation of the Constitution, that it's basically he's there because you got the federal authorities and the federal power imposing this stuff onto the states and the cities. And that's a violation of the Constitution. They can't just arbitrarily drop off people into neighborhoods. So he was there talking from that point of view. But the average, if it's not Hannity or something like that, the average radio station or the average news station just wanted to have someone you want to talk about reality TV. I was watching reality TV right there. They were creating the story.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true, too, because that's how reality TV works. It's you go there and you pick your story. And
here, go get into a fight with so-and-so,
Yeah.
Well, so you guys, how did you guys know the buses were coming?
Well, that's one of the interesting stories is that on the first day, when you probably heard, that was when they blocked the buses. We had people that was spontaneous. No one planned to do that, to get in. There was no plan to get in front of the buses. And what happened was you had a few people, as the buses came down, it was almost like someone told me, because I wasn't there, but someone who was there, she said it was like Tiananmen Square. You had one or two people just step out in front of the buses and stop them. And at that point, people who were lining the side of the roads all came out. And what is interesting, or what made Marietta so special, and this is why it's so important to know who you're electing at the local level, because the mayor was against what immigration was trying to do. The Obama administration with these illegal immigrants, the chief of police was against it, the city council was against it. So when the people blocked the buses, the police did nothing. They just stood by instead of trying to push their way through, which meant that they had to turn the buses around and take them somewhere else.
So that's why it didn't turn into, a gigantic beatdown and all the other things.
Right, and so what was interesting was that as this carried on, the majority of the Border Patrol was not for this either. They didn't want to do this work. They were completely in disagreement with what the administration is doing here. You know, they're there to enforce the immigration laws, not to babysit kids and allow people just to walk in. You know, most of these guys went in, joined the Border Patrol to protect the borders. And so whenever they would try to bring a bus in, or they would schedule buses or SUVs, they were talking about doing different ways to sneak people in to this station. And it was supposed to be 140 immigrants every 3 days, every 72 hours.
140 immigrants every 72 hours?
Yes. And the only reason it was that number is, you know, and that's relatively small. They would have done a bigger number, but that facility could only process 140 illegal immigrants in a 72-hour period.
And those were being basically documented and released at that rate?
Yes, that's what
that
it was.
The plan.
They were being documented. And from what I've read since then, I mean, they aren't even doing biometric information. Basically, they're just showing up, getting the kids' stories, and a lot of them aren't even kids. They're 17, 18, 19-year-olds. They could be up into their 20s. And what they're doing is giving a piece of paper saying that wherever they're going in the United States, so they could be going up to your neighborhood, wherever they go, they are to go to the local immigration office and give them this paper for their court hearing. Well, we know how well that's going to work. You know, they aren't going to show up.
No.
But then at that point, they're they're just being driven and giving like a travel, some money for travel, being dropped off at a local bus station and say, okay, we'll see you when you get to where you're going.
Now, what are they doing with the little kids? Because, I mean, that's what the news wants to show is the little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old kids. They're not loading them up off buses and turning them loose, are they?
Pretty much what they're doing is going on what the kids say. So they aren't verifying people. They aren't, like I said, they aren't doing biometrics of the kids. They aren't really even verifying the people picking up the kids. So if someone shows up, And the kid said, oh, that's my uncle. They just released the kid to that person.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's totally crazy. Now, give us a perspective for those people who don't live in Southern California. You know, some people that listen don't live in California at all. But
right.
So how populated an area is this? I mean, are they releasing them into a giant town, a medium size? Is it the middle of nowhere?
No, they're fairly large populated areas. I guess I can't really say. I think Marietta might be. Well, it's the Riverside County, the metropolitan area. They are like the bedroom communities to Los Angeles or San Diego. Most people commute to there to work. Middle class, mostly tract homes, and I would say size wise. You know, maybe probably similar to Fresno or Stockton up in your area.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good size. And what they would do, they had, in fact, even Riverside itself, which is a good sized city, it was Riverside, Paris, and there was one more that had a bus stations. And they would, once they processed them, the plan was to take them and just drop them off at these bus stations. And Riverside itself is a big city. And they were just going to drop them off and leave them there.
And they get to what? Live under a bridge?
Supposedly, they had some money, enough money that was going to get them, or a voucher or something that was going to get them to where they said they had to go.
Yeah. What a great plan.
So these kids, these little kids, would just get paired up with, let's just call them a chaperone, and taken to a local bus stop or taken to someplace and just dropped?
But they're not being taken to that person. They're being dropped and then picked up by the chaperone.
Well,
that's a weird deal.
In this case, how? Well, because, again, it never got that far because the buses got turned around here. Now, I know the older ones, they were just going to drop off at the bus station in our communities and let them
roam free.
I mean, no one's watching them. They just drop them off and say, okay, thank you, have a good day. We'll see you when you get to wherever you're going.
Gosh, if I was running a gang, this would be awesome. I'd just wait at the bus.
But the younger ones, like I said, it never got to that point. So I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but I think someone would show up at the immigration station, and if the kid said, yes, that's my uncle or whoever, that's my cousin or whoever, they would just, okay, you can go now.
Wow, no proof.
Kind of like picking up your kid after, you know, yeah, after school.
Except you don't need any paperwork or anything to say exactly. You're who you are.
But see, and the other big change is that if somebody else picks up your kid at school, which is getting harder by the day, but if somebody else picks up your kid, the parents notice and they call somebody and come look for you. These little kids, if somebody creepy picks them up, I mean, for the ones that are truly little, you know, because a lot of those kids were a lot older than they wanted us to think, but the little kids, nobody will miss them.
Well, that was an interesting thing, too, is like you were saying, a lot of these kids weren't really kids. I mean, they were 17, 18, 19 years old, covered with gang tats.
Right.
And you only saw a couple of clips on the news about that. But
the rest of them are all a bunch of little thumb-sucking curtain climbers.
Yeah, but there's quite a few of them that are coming right out of the gangs down there and just transplanting here.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, well, in Latin America, you know, first of all, we need to realize in most Latin American countries, you graduate high school and you're an adult at 16, not at 18.
Hmm.
So, and so a lot of these people have been involved. Even 12-year-olds are already involved in gangs. I mean, we even see that here, but it's a lot more widespread down there. So if you have a 16-year-old, he's already considered an adult in his own country, and, you know, there's a good chance he's already been involved in gang activity for 4 years.
Sure. Now he can just come up here and up his game. Hey, John,
yeah,
we've got
he just comes up here, and it's another gang member picking him up.
Wow.
You know, and they're just reinforcing their you know, MS-13 and these gangs are just reinforcing, you know, are moving soldiers northward.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
take them right to sign school.
It's pretty cost efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the government to do it. It's kind of like that customer we had. He was a logger, and every time he had a job, you know, he was doing a job in New Mexico, and magically before he left, his machine burned up. So the factory had to ship him a new one at his job site, saved him, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 in freight. And then it burned up before he came back. It was amazing, you know.
Well, you know,
hey, they must have learned from him.
Insurance was cheaper than
when you talk about money. I mean, these are people who are so impoverished. And like I said, I studied Latin America and the economics down there. These are people that are so poor, and there is poverty down there. But these people are so poor that they could barely live, but yet they have $5,000-$7,000 to pay coyotes to bring their kids north.
You know, that's another thing that really didn't make any sense to me is how are they
able? I'm cutting you off right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna hold that thought.
Well, I'm gonna have to hold on to Bill's tongue for 2 minutes so
money,
we can
money,
take
money,
a break.
Money.
We'll be right back. Talking about immigration and some other stuff later, next hour. You're listening to We the People here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Let my tongue go. Let my tongue go.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
The Veterans Resource Center and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers is having a fundraising trap shoot at the Reading Gun Club on Sunday, August 10th from 7 a.m. to noon. Cost is $35 per person, including breakfast and a box of shells. All proceeds go to helping veterans with housing and special needs. To purchase tickets or sponsor a participant, please contact us at 223-3211 or drop by the Veterans Resource Center at 153 Hartnell Suite 100. Help us help those who served.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your Barefoot Plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just come off the key and get yourself free. Who's the bad fat,
Jeff? Is that bad?
Maybe new plans, Ben. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and get yourself free.
That's about the size of it right there.
Yeah, sounds good.
The Marietta Bus theme song. I knew Bob would have something up his sleeve on that one.
Okay, so what I was going to ask you was...
Before I was holding onto your tongue.
Yeah, she grabbed hold of my tongue and had me in a tongue hole. We were told that these children are escaping poverty and crime and gang violence and all this, and yet they have thousands of dollars to pay coyotes to get them across the border. I'm not buying that.
It was, and this isn't like something that they could save up for, you know, knowing that this plan was there. I mean, this was something they would have to be able to come up with $5,000 on short notice.
Oh, yeah. Instantly, they just, you know, grabbed the coffee can, and they had thousands of dollars to spend on traveling thousands of miles to get across the
border. How much you want to bet this turns out like Fast and Furious?
As?
You know,
well,
like the gun running?
Indications of that, because, and even my wife, you know, when she was watching the videos, and she came from a poor part of Mexico, and she's like looking at these kids coming across, how they're dressed and stuff, and how they look, and she's like, these kids don't look like they're poor kids, you know, because of you know, just her coming from that, you can kind of usually tell, you know, where someone falls in the economic scales.
But do you think there really is all this money trading hands at the border, or do you think they're just somehow getting to the border, jumping on these trains and coming across on their own? I mean, I don't see the cash. I don't see how they can come up with that kind of money. I mean, that's what they're claiming, that they're the coyotes are making millions.
Well, I do think the coyotes are doing a lot of that, because for these kids to travel Mexico, like I said with my wife, we, you know, she follows the news down there, and Mexico is pretty much, most of it is a...
it's a Wild West.
Yeah, it's a Wild West. I mean, you have cities like down in the state of Michoacan that are trying to form their own police force, the the people in these towns to protect themselves from the cartels, because the army won't do it, the local police force is corrupt, so they're trying to form their own to protect themselves, which is a great argument for having a Second Amendment. But so for someone to travel through Mexico now, through, they aren't going to Cancun or something. They're,
no.
They're going through the worst parts.
So they're traveling with the consent of the cartels. The money must be coming from the cartels. But actually, the cartels wouldn't even pay to send these kids across, would they?
Right. No, they would receive the money to ensure safe passage.
But where's the money coming from?
That's the question, and that was one of the things that my wife noticed, that a lot of these kids, and it looked like they were, you know, if you are trying to escape from economic dire straits and you can't feed yourself and stuff.
They had pretty good clothes and shoes.
You're not going to have the money to pay that, but like my wife said, you know, these kids, what she's seen of them, they don't look like they are from, they are the poor kids. From these
right.
Countries.
So
they look like they might be the middle class or even upper middle class who are being sent here to take advantage of being allowed to stay here legally.
Yeah, well, I noticed that too, because yeah, the outfits and the shoes and some of that stuff, and I'm thinking, wait a second. I mean, not that I think kids should be, you know, living in poverty, but those kids didn't look like they had been,
mm-hmm.
and they also just didn't. I don't know.
Some of those kids, I mean, this is what you see on the news. I mean, they showed pictures of kids that had, you know, the bed bugs and the lice and
but think about the trip they just made.
But still, if they had money when they left, I don't think they would be in that condition when they got here.
Sure, they would run them 1,000 miles through, you know.
I think they got a plane ticket to the border.
Well, and the other thing is how much of these kids, like we were just mentioning with the gang members, and again, this is all speculation because no one knows, but, gangs have $5,000 to transport their members that they want here in the north.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's tons of them that are sponsored by the cartels, and obviously the coyotes aren't making any money on them, but these little kids... I just don't see them coming up with cash to get across the border.
What does your wife say? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me that people would send a 5-year-old, that you would just offload a 5-year-old and send them up here by themselves.
Yeah, she's the same way. She teaches preschool. She was a kindergarten teacher in Mexico, and it was this, you know, it's almost the same thing. She has trouble trying to figure it out.
Yeah, culturally,
you know,
I don't see people
who they
doing
are
this.
And why this is happening. You know, one of the interesting things is I have a friend in college that's from El Salvador. She came here as a child during the war that they had down there because her dad was connected with the government and the Marxist rebels put a hit on the whole family. So they were real refugees coming here. She came here. And she's done very well for herself. She's still a resident alien, but she went to UC Davis, got a degree in microbiology, and now she has done very well for herself. So she decided to go back to medical school to become a doctor. That's been her dream. And it was real interesting. In January, she went down back to El Salvador. And she went to Honduras and she went to Nicaragua because she couldn't, you know, the medical schools here are so expensive, but they have accredited schools in those countries. And so she took her 9-year-old son. They went there for like 5 or 6 weeks. And when she got back, she called me and she was saying she was so impressed on how much San Salvador has changed. You know, her family still has a house there where she stayed, and she said it was always a dangerous neighborhood, but now you can walk around at night. They have a light rail system they're building around the whole city, and she's like, John, you need to go down. You need to come down. If you ever want to go to San Salvador, you can use our house down there. And she goes, because you can walk around at night, you can do all this stuff, and she was saying how safe it is now.
Tell me the end of the story is that they sent all the bad guys here.
No, but the whole thing was that was back in January, February when I talked to her. And then now here we are in the middle of summer, and now we're told that these people can't even, you know, have to send their little kids on this dangerous journey just to escape all the crime.
Yeah, or they'll be killed.
So for me, there was a disconnect. I don't understand.
No.
You know, I have someone who was just there, and she visited those countries, but, you know, she was going to all the different medical schools there in that country. She knows the country. She's from El Salvador. She speaks the language. And yet, you know, she's telling me how great the country has developed over the last few years, and yet on the news we're being told how horrible it is.
Yeah, and it's all happened. It's all gotten really bad in just the last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it all ramped up, fine. And then everyone magically found. I mean, because if I had a kid right now and I wanted to send them to a foreign country, I had $5,000 right in my pocket, and I knew a smuggler, a human smuggler.
That I could trust.
Yeah, right, a human smuggler I'd give my 5-year-old to. I mean, it seems to me that should take a little research.
And people need to realize, too, is that this so far hasn't been playing well in the Mexican or the Spanish-speaking press down there. You know, one of the things, like my wife, she watches the Spanish news, and she doesn't watch it here. She watches over the internet, on YouTube and stuff, the actual broadcast down in Mexico and stuff. And you know, it's being told that you know, we are taking these kids from El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala and stuff, and we're putting them in camps.
Ooh.
And the state is now taking over and is going to raise them, and they're going to be, you know, have state education in these camps. I mean, it really made it sound like we were putting them in some form of concentration camps.
That's actually probably good. That probably slowed the flow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, it wasn't really a big, like, oh, this is great. You know, look how caring the Obama administration is. He's not getting any applause.
Well,
Latin Americans on this thing.
But they just had the leaders, I don't remember which countries they were from, but they were in Washington talking about this situation down the border right now, and they were kind of letting on that, you know, they can't really do anything about it. It's something that we created. Again, that's BS.
Bravo Sierra? Is that what we're talking?
That's Bravo Sierra, 10-4.
Oh, my gosh. John, we need to take another quick break right before the top of the hour. We're going to have break right here. We'll do better next hour. We tell people that every week. They don't believe us anymore. Oh, you're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The magic bus.
Yeah, nice one.
Every day I get you.
Magic bus.
To get on the bus that takes me to you.
Magic bus.
I'm so nervous I just sit and smile.
Magic bus.
Only another mile.
Magic bus.
Thank you, driver, for getting me here.
Magic bus.
Don't be an inspector, have no fear.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
It was a time when strangers were welcome here. Music would play, they tell me the days were sweet.
Marietta, and music.
Clear. It was a sweeter tune.
Nice, Bob. Another. But I really liked the Magic Bus before we went on break. John, did you choke on your coffee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was great.
Who rides the Magic Bus? I was like, I had no idea there were so many fun bus songs. Good grief. We're back with John Hancock here on We the People Radio. Gosh, that sounds good. Doesn't that sound sensible right there?
It really does. It goes together.
Feels like it's about time we had one of the founding fathers on. For heaven's sakes, it's We the People Radio.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. So I think probably next hour we're gonna talk to you a little bit about your American exceptionalism-ness. You've got all sorts of info there. I learned all sorts of things last night. It was super fun chatting with you. I feel like I already know you, which is bad. I'm not as curious as I was yesterday.
Hey, wait a minute.
We're counting on Bill to bring all the curiosity to the table. So what do you, really to sort of put this in some sort of perspective, the people in your area stood up to the immigration guys. And you had told me last night, too, that the Border Patrol guys are the ones who told you that the bus was coming, right?
Right.
So for everybody who thinks the Border Patrol's in on it.
A bus or a plane was scheduled to land in San Diego at the airport. They had to notify the Border Patrol there at the Marietta station that, to have people there to take in the illegal aliens to process them. And as soon as they were notified, we were notified by the Border Patrol agents who were sympathetic to what we were doing.
So wait a minute, I'm confused. They're flying the kids in?
They were flying the kids in, yeah, because all these kids have come in through Texas.
Oh, okay.
And Texas was overwhelmed.
So they're farming
the processing
out.
Station.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So they flew them on taxpayer dollars from Texas over to San Diego, and then they were going to bus them up north to this. And it's a very tiny station. I tell you the truth, until the news hit, I didn't even know there was a Border Patrol station in Marietta.
Hmm. So where did the kids go? If they couldn't get off the bus, what'd they do?
They shipped them to San Ysidro, he said.
Yeah, they sent them down to San Ysidro.
Where were you?
To the processing station down there, and then they got the Catholic Archdiocese of Riverside and San Bernardino involved. So they started housing these kids in churches here in Riverside and San Bernardino. The big one was in Fontana, and so people started protesting that. One of the big scares is even if the government says everything that these are young kids or they're small kids. They are you know, they are being processed. They aren't even getting biometric information. They're not taking fingerprints. They aren't taking photographs. They aren't doing anything like that. They're only getting a cursory, if at all, any type of medical examination.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you. The whole medical thing is what's really hitting the news
right
now.
You can't ask him something with 28 seconds to go.
That's my moniker.
Got the Ferris Bueller music. That's your cue. We're going to be back with John Hancock second half. You've got 5 minutes, a little news, extra coffee, that kind of thing. We're on KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
And if you want to join us, call in at 530-605-4567.
Or just listen to us rattle on.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Leaders of Hamas say they will observe a 24-hour humanitarian truce in the Gaza war beginning this afternoon so they can mark the end of Ramadan. Israel offered a 24-hour truce late yesterday, but Hamas rejected it, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not in a trusting mood.
They've even violated their own ceasefire, so they continue to fire at us, and of course, we'll take the necessary action to protect ourselves, to protect our people, including against the terror tunnels that they're digging under our border and trying to reach and blow up our people.
He was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. A federal judge has ruled that the District of Columbia's ban on carrying handguns outside the home is unconstitutional. District Judge Frederick Scullin says the Second Amendment gives people the right to carry a gun outside their home for self-defense. A team of international police officers was supposed to visit the site of the Malaysian plane disaster in eastern Ukraine today. That trip has been canceled because of fighting in the area. Spokesman says it would just be too dangerous. Meanwhile, the U.S. is accusing Russia of firing artillery at Ukrainian military sites.
The State Department says the U.S. has evidence that Russia is shelling Ukraine from sites inside Russia. The administration also says Moscow plans to send more lethal weaponry to pro-Russian separatists. According to State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf, Russia intends to deliver heavier and more powerful multiple rocket launchers to separatists battling Ukrainian forces in the east of the country. She declined to provide details or elaborate on the evidence. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
A fast-moving blaze near Sacramento has grown to about 4,000 acres and is just 20% contained despite the efforts of nearly 1,500 firefighters, more than 500 homes under evacuation orders. This is SRN News.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now 1-800-299-2896. 1-800-299-2896. That's 1-800-299-2896.
Spanish police say they've broken up a gang suspected of selling forged passports and residence cards for entry into the U.S., arresting 14 of its members. The group was allegedly composed of Cuban nationals who charged up to $2,000 for each forged document. They used a travel agency to attract potential customers, especially amongst the Cuban community based in the Canary Island of Tenerife. Officers arrested 11 Cubans and 3 Spaniards in Tenerife and in Madrid. The shipwrecked Costa Concordia cruise liner has completed its final voyage. Pulled by tugboats and nudged by brisk winds today, the wreck was eased into Genoa's port, where it will be scrapped. The luxury liner struck a reef when its captain sailed too close to Giglio Island off Tuscany's coast in January of 2012 and capsized, killing 32 people. A spectacular operation to set the wreck upright had to take place before it could be sailed to Genoa. This is SRN News. Police in Sacramento say they appreciate Los Angeles Clippers forward Matt Barnes using his fame to seek the public's help in tracking down the man police say killed his aunt.
Barnes went on Twitter and Instagram accounts asking anyone who knew where 51-year-old Michael Williams of Sacramento was to call the authorities. Barnes also posted photos of Williams on his social networking accounts. Police say Williams is suspected of stabbing his wife, who is Barnes' aunt.
SRN's Gordon Griffin. A U.S. senator says musicians who travel with their instruments don't always find it easy to get them on board planes. A law from 2 years ago requires commercial air carriers to allow the instruments as carry-on items. But Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island says the law hasn't taken effect yet because transportation officials haven't adopted the special rules that would be needed. Reed says he wants that done soon, pointing to problems faced by a band flying to the Newport Folk Festival recently. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We were going to have to play him the whole song. we're goofing around. Didn't get back in our chairs quick enough. Hey, you're joining We the People Radio in progress, second hour. You can always find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Check out all the archives. Goes back like 4 years. Got some pretty good stuff in there.
Yeah. I'm Bill. I'm Bill. She's Aaron. He's Bob.
What made you do that?
I don't know. I just popped off.
What caused you to do that right in the middle?
It's his job.
Bob.
It's my job.
Bob, for heaven's sakes, give me one of those little...
It's my like job, little... man.
Oh, man. So, let's see. Robert Exter, he gets a big kudos today. Got us our webpage put together and got our guest. I got jammed last week. He contacted John Hancock and said, we got this page built. It's all about the border thing. People want to hear about it. So thanks, Robert, for doing that. And John, we've got all your bio. We kind of read it the first part of the hour. I'm not going to do it again, except to say that you got to sit in on British Parliament and all sorts of good stuff.
Right.
Okay, how much fun was that? Was it fun when they're all yelling at each other? Because, frankly, that just makes my day.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that bad. But when we went, it was question time. It was question time of the
Prime Minister,
Foreign Secretary Haig.
Oh darn!
And it is really interesting. And I think after watching that, we were there for over an hour, and I think that's something we need to institute here, because it's real interesting. You know, the cabinet. You know, not just the Prime Minister. If anybody who's wonkish enough wants to go on C-SPAN and watch the Prime Minister get grilled, they can do that. But the whole cabinet has to come down and answer questions, and it's on both sides. So on one side of the aisle is his supporters from his party. On the other side is the opposition. They rotate back and forth. You know, and I was watching this, and I was listening to the opposition, you know, ask Haig some very hard questions. And I was thinking, what would it be like if Obama had to come down to Congress and answer questions?
And actually answer them.
And actually have to answer them. Not just walk in and give a speech like he does at the State of the Union, but come in there on a regular basis and you know, because the opposition would ask the questions that a friendly media will not ask.
Kind of hard to get those up on the teleprompter in time. To right. Give the right answer, wouldn't it?
Well, and that's the beauty of it over there with that question time. You know, if anybody has ever watched this, how quickly they can come up with stuff. The Prime Minister.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
it's like you know, their debating skills are incredible.
I watched Cameron take questions for the prime minister or whatever it was. Like,
right.
I think it was probably maybe a month ago. It was pretty recently, and I had never seen that before. I was watching a hearing, and the hearing ended, and it said, "Now we're going to do questions with the prime minister." I thought, "Wow, what's that?" That was unbelievable. You would have to be incredibly sharp to do
and,
that.
And yeah, and they are rowdy.
Oh yeah,
you know. Yeah, they're like, you know, and I you know, it wasn't too heated, but yeah, when he said something that one side didn't like, they booed and they threw paper. And
super fun. Well, you know, the other part of it is, too, like in the questions for the prime minister that I watched, if somebody asked him a stupid question, he goes, "That's just too ridiculous to even waste my breath on." And it was like, next.
Yeah, yeah. Or they do this thing where they insult each other, but they do it in the politest way.
Yeah, they weren't that polite when I was listening.
I mean, no disrespect, but.
Yeah, well, to my esteemed colleague, I would like to say, and it's like, it sounds like they're paying him a compliment when they're, in fact, you know, insulting the person.
Yeah, it boiled down to you're kind of a pinhead.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Something straight out of Monty Python.
It was, too, boy. It was great. But, so you were, you know, we were talking about all sorts of things last night about the idea of American exceptionalism and the history there.
Right.
You do like a 20, I think you said it was 25 minute?
Yeah, usually a 25 minute talk, you know, kind of based on my book, Liberty Inherited, which has been an Amazon bestseller in a history section now for 18 months.
Right on. And, good for you.
And then I'm doing a follow-up. So it's kind of a combination of both those books, the research I've done, which is many years of research. And the basis of the book is that, you know, with a name like John Hancock, I grew up loving history. So
there you go.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there was always something that I would look at. You know, I started with World War II like most kids of our generation, our uncles, our parents, you know, fought in World War II. And so that was real interesting. And there was always a connection between the English-speaking countries. I always felt there was something there. I mean, it wasn't a coincidence that on D-Day, you know, the main players were Americans, Canadians, and the British landing on that beach. They were the English-speaking countries. And you look around, and you look at New Zealand, Australia, Canada, United States, Great Britain. These aren't, you know, none of them are impoverished countries, like many of the former colonies of Spain and France are. So there had to be something that made them special, something that made them unique, that made them free and prosperous nations. So when I started to write about American exceptionalism, I started doing that research of what all these countries had in common, and that was their English roots. You know, they inherited their legal, their political system, their economic system from England. So I wanted to research that. So I went back and looked at that. And I realized that our liberty, not just in America, but that all the English-speaking countries have, and the prosperity, we inherited it from England. Going back to the Magna Carta, you can actually go back to the fall of Rome. With the Anglo-Saxons. And it's real interesting. There have been several articles within the last week talking about in France and Germany, and they're talking about the Anglo-Saxon banking system. There, one French minister was warning the a media group that they have to defend against Anglo-Saxon invasion of Anglo-Saxon movies. You know, to us, we conjure up these people with shields and maybe Viking helmets or something.
Horns.
What they are referring to is, you know, they aren't worried that the Vikings are coming back. What they're referring to is the English speaking countries. Everyone outside of the English speaking world see us as one. You know, they don't see us as Great Britain different things. They see what we have in common, and that's our system of government.
Well, we're the West. I think they commonly call it the
Western
West.
Style or whatever.
Right, and the only reason it's that is because, you know, again, historians or the leftists, no one wants to say the truth when they in academia. The fact is that the only reason these are Western values is because every time that, whether it's the French, whether it was the Spanish, the Germans, the Russians, whoever tried to defeat the English system of government, they lost. And that's why these values are not all the Western values, but the French, the Italians, the Spanish, no one really has that same system. It's very unique to the Western or to the English speaking countries. And there's a great quote I found by Edmund Burke. And just for people who aren't familiar with him, he was a contemporary in the British Parliament, but he was during the American Revolution. And he was that he made that great quote all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
While the other quote I found, which I think is just as excellent, he said, "Liberty is a contract between the dead, the living, and those yet to be born."
That
and
is
what
good.
He meant by that is we inherited our liberty from those who came before us and are gone. And it is our duty and our obligation to preserve that liberty for those yet to come. And when I do my talk, I say, you know what, we are failing. This generation is failing the future generations yet to come. We are destroying their liberty. They aren't going to inherit liberty.
No, and not if these guys have anything to say about it, because all they want to, I mean, you talk a lot about capitalism and how
right.
that makes things go, and that, but the right now, the left anyway, everything is anti-capitalist. Capitalism is bad. And that is setting up, I don't know, it sets up our young people for really a false view of how the world works and how you get ahead. I mean, they can't get ahead in the anti-capitalist system because that's actually the opposite of what the goal is.
Yeah, and they're willing to try something far worse.
We're going to come back and talk about that some more in 2 minutes. So we don't get behind on our breaks and have to have them all at one time. Not that it isn't fun, but, you know, try to get with the program here. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
The Veterans Resource Center and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers is having a fundraising trap shoot at the Reading Gun Club on Sunday, August 10th from 7 a.m. to noon. Cost is $35 per person, including breakfast and a box of shells. All proceeds go to helping veterans with housing and special needs. To purchase tickets or sponsor a participant, please contact us at 223-3211 or drop by the Veterans Resource Center at 153 Hartnell Suite 100. Help us help those who served.
Attention experienced caregivers or those with an interest in working with the elderly. Home Helpers is currently hiring compassionate caregivers. We work with elderly clients in their homes. All our services are non-medical, so past experience is helpful but not necessary. At Home Helpers, we value our caregivers and have many incentives. If you have retired and have 10 to 20 hours a week or are looking to make a job change, why not work with seniors and allow them the independence to remain at home? Our services include light housekeeping, transportation, preparing meals, medication reminders, and companionship. Schedules are available weekdays, evenings, weekends, and overnights. All applicants must pass a criminal background check and DMV screening. If you feel called to help seniors and are committed to providing a safe and wonderful experience for our clients, Home Helpers is interested in you. Please visit our website at homehelpers.cc or call 226-8350 for more information. Home Helpers is committed to helping all seniors age at home. Home Helpers, there is no place like home.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner.
Join us on The Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Okay, I never knew in that song it said, I can't wait for the bus all day.
brown paper bag.
Nice. Harkening back to the first half of our show where we talked about the immigration issue. You'll have to listen to that online. It'll archive in an hour or so. Join us on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. If you punch the listen live button, you will get the chat room. And in about 2 hours, I guess, if you hit it, the show will start over again. You could send it to friends and family. And we've got a lot of good archive stuff in there if you'd like to jump on that. If you have ideas for guests, actually, we're looking for those, too. Always looking to hear from other people. And all the contact information is on the site. All right. Back with our special guest, Mr. John Hancock. We're talking about how the communists, I guess that's a big puzzle now, you know, the socialists, the communists, the Marxists, the whatever you want to call that whole bag, the left, the far left, thinks that you can create a happy society, but there's no proof of that anywhere.
Well, there's proof that it won't work. Lots of it.
Right, and, you know, in my second book, which is called The Proven Alternative, I actually go back 500 years to show how the four principles of limited government, individual liberty, private property, and free market economics, capitalism, has brought prosperity and freedom to every society that has embraced it. And I use three main case studies, the Dutch of the 1500s, and then the English during the 1800s, and of course the America 1800s on. And it's done amazing things. I'm reading this history of the Dutch, for example, and they were, you know, the schools were privately ran, and they had the highest literacy rate in all of Europe in the 1500s. Charity was privately funded, and there was so much money in charity that they said that it was even hard to find people to help. Because the society was so wealthy.
No kidding.
You know, the middle class was the largest middle class in all of Europe and the world. The standard of living, they had houses, they had, you know, one of the interesting things, if you look at Dutch painting during that time and compare it to the rest of Europe, especially France and Spain, in France and Spain, most of the paintings from the 16th century were paintings of nobility, of royalty, because they were the only ones that could afford to have a painter paint them. The Dutch, on the other hand, had painting of middle-class life. They had family portraits of middle-class people. They had, and they would have pets. They actually had enough money that they could have pets, not working animals, but actual pets, parakeets and canaries and dogs that they had, not just to hunt or keep rodents away, but just to have, like we do, for companionship. And they had meat in their diet, where at the time, the average Frenchman, the common Frenchman, was eating roots. He was boiling roots. That was his diet.
And cake.
And there's a story I tell when I do my talk, and It was actually a true story that happened 700 years ago. There was a Dutch town, and they invited the Queen of France to come and visit, and they gave a ball in her honor. And as she walked into the ballroom, she saw all these nicely dressed women. And she looked around, and she said to her escorts, she said, "I thought I was to be the only queen here. It appears that there are 600 more so than I." And what she didn't understand was that these were the middle-class Dutch women. They weren't nobility. They weren't the wealthy. They were the middle class. And they were dressed so nicely that she could not comprehend coming from a state-centered system that, like they had in France. She could not comprehend how could these people be dressed so nicely. And that was because that's a product of what limited government, individual rights, you know, the government that works for the individual, not the individual serving the government, free market economics, and more importantly, private property produces. And it worked again in England. It worked in America. It's worked in Hong Kong. It's worked in Singapore. It worked in Australia. It works in Canada. It works everywhere. It has a longer than 500 years. I use 500 years because that's how, you know, the documentation is there because of the printing press and everything. We have pretty good documentation, written history. Beyond that, it gets a little bit more of a verbal history.
Well, what's interesting too is the countries that don't embrace that philosophy are constantly going through revolutions and coups,
right.
And you know they don't seem to ever be able to get ahead of the game.
Well, you know, in Liberty Inherited, I talk about the two Africas, and in the first Africa, I talk about Rhodesia. Rhodesia was a white dominated country. It was a former British colony, but it was the breadbasket of all of Africa. It fed the Africans. And it was a very prosperous country. And even the Africans, the black Africans there, had a lot of freedom and liberty. It's just that the government was white controlled. And then they, in about 78-80, they were forced through, leftists did a bunch of embargoes, boycotts. Jimmy Carter brought a bunch of pressure onto them to have one man, one vote. And Ian Smith was the prime minister at the time, and he told the representative from Carter and also from the Liberal government or the Labour government in Britain that if you want to do this now, we would have one vote. Or we would have one man, one vote for one man, one time. You'll never have another free election in Rhodesia again. But you know, college students and university students and people who are completely unaware of history and economics bought pressure onto that. They had one vote, one vote for one man. And this guy named Mugabe came to power. They never had a free election again. He expelled all the white people out, the people who knew how to run the government, the people who knew how to run the economy. He brought in liberation Marxism. He is still in power to this day. And as far as prosperity goes and development goes economically, he changed the name of the country from Rhodesia to Zimbabwe, which is now second only to North Africa for poverty. This is the difference between what the system based on the English form of government, the freedom and prosperity that it brings, and how socialism and Marxism destroys it over and over again. And a clear example is what happened in South Africa. They did the opposite. Mandela kept the English system in place. He saw that what was wrong with the system wasn't the English system was wrong. It just wasn't expanded to enough people. The black Africans were denied access to it. They didn't benefit from it. So what he did was he kept the white people in place. He put black Africans with them to learn how the system ran, to learn how to do the jobs. And yes, South Africa is not a, you know, it still has its issues, but it did not go the way of Zimbabwe. It is still a, in Africa, it still is the economic leader. In fact, one of the interesting things is around the world, if you look on every continent around the world, except for Latin America, the regional power, military, economic, political power is a former English colony. The only reason in Latin America is because the English never did have a strong presence there.
Yeah, and look at the development that's occurred there in those countries as far as economic development, technology.
Right.
All that is completely vacant.
Yes, yeah, and this is over and over. And what's real interesting is, it, you know, since Gaza and stuff is in the news, look at, again, the Israelis embraced the basically their version. You know, every country kind of modifies it for its own region, its own culture. But the Israelis took on the same thing, the English system, basically, and they took that desert and made it very prosperous and is working it. And that's the thing, wherever this has been transplanted or those four values have been in place, you could be in a desert and somehow it turns that desert into a prosperous land.
And it never goes the other way.
It never goes the other way. In fact, it's the opposite. My friend Daniel Hannan, who's a member of the European Parliament, he said, you know, we have to be honest here. Well, what most leftists do is compare capitalism's actual real-world experiences to the theoretical success of their system, of socialism or Marxism. You know, you can't compare apples and oranges. You have to compare apples to apples. If we are going to look at capitalism and say, okay, look at all the shortfalls capitalism has, we can't turn around then and look at socialism in some sort of theoretical abstract theory and say, okay, but socialism's going to, you know, Marxism's going to is going to solve these problems. Because in reality, Marxism, and it is Marxism, I mean, everything goes back, I go back to the roots. Where does their philosophy come from? What are they basing their policies on? What are they basing their idea, their ideology on? They can call them what you want, but it is still comes from the teachings of Karl Marx.
But then how do you explain countries like a lot of these Middle East countries that Afghanistan, let's say, countries that's never they've never known anything but warring, and then we come along and try to put in a Western style government. They don't have a clue how to run a government like that, and it always ends up falling back into the hands of the Marxists.
Right. You can't. To be honest, you can't. One of the big things I had problems with the Bush administration was nation building.
Yeah.
I was completely against it when I first heard they were going to try to create these democracies in the Middle East. And the cultural roots just aren't there. The cultural foundation isn't there.
Right. You have to have that before you
right.
can put that in place.
Right. And it's not there. And you see that even in countries like Greece and France and Spain. You know, we need to realize that most of these countries haven't had only has had what's called liberal democracy, not modern liberalism, but classical liberal democracies since World War II, 60, 70 years. And I think the only reason is because they've had prosperity this whole time. But these countries have shown whenever they whenever there's difficult times, and we've seen this recently in France and in Spain and in Greece, the people automatically start resorting back to their authoritarianism.
Well, look at Russia. Russia had it, was kind of on
that's
that
another
track.
One, yes.
Yeah, that's a classic example.
Because culturally, they're not there, and I kind of disagree. Well, maybe people are born to want freedom, but culture will destroy that if the culture does not embrace freedom and liberty and the values that we prize and that we think are precious. You know, some societies will believe that you know, security, feeling safe, and having a strong apparatus protecting you.
Right. That's what they always slide back to, is they want Big Brother there to help them along.
Because if you had full-time supervision, you'd be happier and more prosperous.
Yeah.
And the world would just be better.
They'll take care of you.
And they could give you a free unicorn.
Yeah.
And a pup. And a puppy.
And a puppy.
Well, and it goes back. You can see this going back to the culture. I mean, to the family culture. You know, a lot of these countries that are in France and so forth. You know, one of the big things that they talk about is how tight the family is. And how much, you know, the family has a lot of control over the individual members of the family. They have a lot of influence. And so it's that same thing. There is protection within the family. And you often have a matriarch or a patriarch who kind of acts in a way the same way as the government does. You know, English, Anglo-Saxon societies have never had that structure. You know, at 18, we can't get our kids out fast enough.
Yeah.
Well, look at countries like Syria. There's an example. You had a leader that gave people, you know, a limited amount of freedom, and they were able to build a fairly strong structure, had modern cities.
Right.
You know, and then we came in and basically changed it all, and now it's in ruins. It's in rubble. Because they don't know how to build on that type of society. They've never had it before.
Well, I mean, I think the best illustration, and for the people who still haven't read the book, I think Atlas Shrugged kind of shows you the logical conclusion of an illogical philosophy, and then at the end of it, they had to actually make it sort of science fiction-y just because there was nowhere else to go, but life sucks and then you die, which isn't great. It's kind of a bad ending to a big book, you know, 1,300 pages, and it ends like that.
Right.
It ends better than that, but I won't ruin it.
And here we are.
I won't ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to take a quick break, thank our advertisers, because there still is a free market. And, you know, I think the free market's resilient. No matter what we do to it, I think it'll come back. But it'd be nice if we helped it. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner.
Join us on The Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
All-Star Sports Bar is a proud supporter of Colt 45's baseball right here on KCNR 1460. They've been in Anderson for years, and their new Reading location is awesome. Located at 200 Hartnell Avenue, All-Stars is now serving delicious food, including their already famous All-Stars fries. So whether you want to watch baseball, football, UFC fights, or you just want to have a cold one or a cocktail, it's all going on at All-Star Sports Bar, 200 Hartnell Avenue. In Reading.
Sign it and drive it this month at Reading Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, and get 0.9% financing for 60 months on every new 2015 Kia Forte, 2015 Kia Optima, and 2014 Kia Soul in stock. Sign it, drive it, be happy. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance on approval of credit, subject to prior sale, plus tax, license, and dealer documentation processing charge. Offer ends September 2nd. Not all buyers will qualify. Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, on Facebook and ReadingKia.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Nice segue. John, so we've got probably got 15 minutes left with you here. What other things didn't we cover?
Well, I do want to touch on, since we kind of looked at, like I mentioned with my book, on how the English system has brought freedom and prosperity to the world. You know, what is very important, we all know or we should know about the Magna Carta. And what made the Magna Carta, which... next June, is the 800th anniversary of it, and was signed in 1215, is that it was the first time in writing that the government was subject to the law. It was not above the law. The law, it had to exist within the law itself. And this was very important because that's the basis of all English-speaking societies, that this is why we have, which is very unique to English-speaking societies, the law of the land.
Yeah, that was a huge step. Yeah,
and this is very unique to the English speaking countries, because in France and Spain, the law is, as one king said, is the words that come out of my mouth. And this is the system or that is the system that the colonies of France and Spain inherited. So when you look, when you go down to the Mexican border and you look south, okay, it wasn't American imperialism, it wasn't any imperialism, it wasn't people taking all of the, you know, the white Europeans taking all of their wealth. It is, that is what the government that is not subject to the law creates.
Isn't that what we have now?
That's where we're headed. Exactly. And there's, there are two nations. I mean, you look at all the countries from Chile all the way up to the North Pole. Basically, the whole length of the world. And within all the Americas, there are only two countries that are based on the English system. And they are both north of the Mexican border. And they are English-speaking countries.
Well, people
the rest are impoverished, and it's because they don't respect that. You don't have basically private property. You might have it in name only, but then someone can come and take your land, you know, use the government to take your land. They could bribe government officials to take your land and then give their land to him.
Well, we're just not that far off from that right now.
No,
is what
and
I'm
it's
saying.
Getting there.
They're taking
so
our land.
This is why I was saying I was at the protest in Marietta. Because I don't want that system coming here. And we used to be very good with immigrants when they came here. We taught them this stuff so that they knew not to make them the same mistakes that their countries back home are doing. And they knew that they had to protect that exceptionalism of America. And so now what we have is this immigration where they're not being taught that. They're being taught the opposite. They're being taught that America is bad. They're being taught, whether they're from Mexico or El Salvador or some other country, that the reason why they're poor is because America took it all. This is not a recipe for success for America in the future. You know, my kids are 18 and 20, and I'm out here being involved because I don't want them or my grandchildren to grow up in that type of society. I want them to have opportunity, you know, and they are, you know, the American dream. We are taught the American dream is this house and a car and 2.3 kids and all this stuff. No, the American dream was never that. That was something created by advertisers and marketing people to sell homes and stuff. I mean, it drives me crazy when I see the realtor commercial, the American dream. No, the American dream was you could come here and live your life any way you want. If you wanted to be a mountain man and live as a hermit in the mountains, you can do it. If you wanted to be a farmer somewhere, you can do it. And you didn't have to ask permission to do it. You could determine you were the driver of your own life. That's not happening anymore.
No, not at all. I mean, you could. I mean, that opens up a whole nother discussion. There's so many things that you cannot do in this country anymore, and they'll just bring the heat down on you, and you're gone.
Yeah, you know. I mean, even to the point where a little kid. Can you imagine when we were growing up? That if you had a lemonade stand or something, you know, all of a sudden you would have code enforcement or the cops on you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just gotten to the point where you can't breathe without some government regulation saying you can't do that. It's right. Really getting out of hand. And you're right. You know, folks like you that stand up and say something, everybody needs to start doing that. And I've always said, until it affects them directly in the pocketbook, they're going to sit back and watch.
Well, you know, and it has to be. That's why I think that quote by Edmund Burke is worth repeating. You know, liberty is a contract between the dead, the living, and those yet to be born. You know, people died to preserve the liberty that we inherited. People fought for it. They bled for it. And you know, it's our job now, it's our generation, it's our job to preserve that. It's our moral duty to preserve that for the generations to come. And we're throwing it away because we are a society that is very narcissistic. As long as we're taken care of, you know, forget the rest.
Right.
Right. And we can't do that.
That's so dangerous. And more people are falling into that group. Don't take away what I get for free. Take it away from somebody else.
Right. You know, and it's really funny that you mentioned that because, I like politics and history and stuff going back to even when I was in high school. And I remember when they were doing a smoking ban here in California. And I was like, I don't smoke. I don't like being around it. But I was against all the smoking bans that they were doing. And I told people, I said, they're like, oh, it's bad for you. It's this and that. I go, once you allow the government to do this, and I was only like 20 years old and I understood this stuff. I said, once you allow the government to take away someone else's rights, take away from what someone else enjoys, in time they will come for what you enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And people didn't believe me, And
doesn't cut off your circulation yet?
That's right.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's right.
Need to take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. The final throes of We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
We're already packed in like sardines, but we're stopping in to pick up more. Look out! Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. And another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus.
Are we talking Weird Al?
Some early Weird Al.
You know, I heard the other day that Weird Al has the number one comedy album in the country right now. He's like on a roll.
Again. Oh, yeah, we missed that part. That was classic.
Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus, and another comes on, and another comes on. Another one rides the bus. Hey, he's gonna sit by you. Another one rides the bus.
Does it just keep going like that? Mm.
He's touching me.
Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. Ow! Another one rides the bus. Hey, hey! Another one rides the bus. Hey, 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 hey,
hey. Weird Al just screams decaf.
That was him playing the accordion. You could see the early signs of genius there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yikes.
Well, John, that might be the Marietta theme song. Maybe we need to change it.
Turn it a compilation album.
Oh, my gosh. For all the people that are like, where did that come from? Hey, the first half of the show, John was the eyewitness down there, eyewitness report of all the kids trying to be offloaded in Marietta from the immigration deal and blah, blah, blah. You'll have to go back. You'll have to go back and listen. We can't possibly recap it all for you. But just in case that song seemed like a non sequitur. It wasn't. It was just part of earlier fun and frivolity. Oh, my goodness. We're never short of that around here. So talk to us about your Unite IE a little bit, because people don't know, people don't realize what's going on down there. They think all the people in Southern California are kind of pinheads, actually.
It was Unite IE is Inland Empire, stands for Inland Empire, which is the metropolitan areas of San Bernardino and Riverside County. And what we did was in September form a coalition that brought together all the as many of the conservative Tea Party constitutionalist groups in the area that were willing to come together. We started off with about 8 groups, and it became a coalition. And our main thing is that we have once a month meetings that brings the leadership of these various groups together. And they can kind of interact, and we kind of talk about, we have people come in and talk about best practices on how to grow groups, how to get people who are currently watching Fox News or something and getting angry, but they aren't getting off the couch. How do we get them off the couch and get them involved? And we are now up to 22 groups.
That's pretty great.
Area. And Marietta is a Unite IE success story because, you know, before certain groups that had immigration was their pet project, they would send out stuff to their members and maybe get 10 people there. Well, now because of Unite IE and their working relationship with all the groups, the Tea Party groups, the Oath Keepers, all various different groups, they were able to send out an email to the leadership of those groups, and then those groups turned around and sent out an email to their membership. So that's why you were able to get 100, 150 people on a Friday or a Monday afternoon out at the Border Patrol station in Marietta.
Networking at its finest.
Networking, and that's exactly right. That's what we kind of designed it. I kind of designed it on... If anybody has ever belonged to one of those business networking lunch groups or breakfast groups, it's kind of based on that model.
I think that's awesome. And you guys decided put away all the, you know, all the social issues and all the things that divide everybody and just stick to the part
right
about how you're all going down the road in the same direction.
Exactly. We don't, as a coalition, the coalition does not do anything with candidates. It does not do anything with issues. Each group is free to determine that for themselves, who
nice
they want to endorse, who they want to, what issues they want to take on. All we do is giving them a structure that brings them together and they can network with each other. And that's the power of it is, again, with the email situation, they can email all the group leaders, but no group is compelled to forward that email to their leadership. Maybe there's an issue that they really don't feel comfortable being involved with. They don't have to participate in it. And it's this freedom that allows the coalition to succeed. And we avoid a lot of the pitfalls that causes a lot of conservative coalitions to collapse.
Well, and to tie that together with the first part of the show, one of the things we chatted about last night, and I know we only have like 30 seconds left, but one of the things we talked about was that coalition is what allowed you guys to be so successful in Marietta right. to roll back the buses.
Right, yes.
You just put the word out to all the groups, and everybody put the word out to their group, and you guys had a much bigger showing than you normally would have.
And I think that's why it happened in Marietta first and not in other places.
Absolutely. So, word to the wise, get educated, get a coalition together, and run with people that are going the same direction as you. Thank you, John Hancock. This is another episode of We the People Radio in the can, huh? See you kids next week.
KCNR.
Yep. See you next week.
Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. There may be another lull in the fighting between Israel and Hamas. The terrorist group now says it would observe a 24-hour humanitarian truce later this afternoon ahead of a three-day holiday that marks the end of Ramadan. As for any long-term deal to keep the peace, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says it's not happening.
Hamas is a terror organization that is committed to our destruction, supported bin Laden, condemned you for taking action against bin Laden, wants to eradicate the state of Israel. You don't have a solution with them.
He took questions this morning on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Once again, fighting in eastern Ukraine is getting in the way of efforts to secure the crash site of that Malaysian Airlines plane. A team of international police officers was supposed to go to the site today. The trip has been canceled because of the fighting. One federal agency is finding out what it feels like